This is a Britain Norman Turbine Islander. It's been around for decades. This version with the turboprop engines is not that common.
Robert Valley is inside a hangar at the Key West International Airport. He's standing beside the 10-seat plane his company flies to Havana and back each Friday. His company is Air Key West. It's part of a three-way partnership for scheduled flights to Cuba from the southernmost airport in the U.S. The
turbine engines are known for being small, light, powerful, which gives us the ability to carry 9 passengers and all of their baggage. So it's not a fast airplane. It's pretty much a truck. So for the short hops from here to Cuba, it's, in our opinion, kind of the ideal airplane.
Can we take a peek at the cabin?
Absolutely.
Looks like it's a bit of a tight fit in there for 9 folks. No jetway needed, just a couple of steps up. That's it.
Right.
So a pilot and a co-pilot, you get your own door.
We get our own door, and pretty much there's one door per 2 rows of seats. So that door accesses these 2 rows, and then there's that door there that accesses the last 2 rows there.
Let's take a peek in the true cabin here.
Yeah.
Valley takes off from Key West at 10 o'clock Friday mornings for that 45-minute flight, usually with 8 or 9 others on that 10-seat plane. Valley's in the pilot seat. Yes, if the plane is full, a passenger sits right beside him.
We got here, access these 2 rows of seats.
You know, when you look in here, you've got the normal kind of, air hose, mm-hmm. and you've got your personal light.
Mm-hmm.
Clearly no room for beverage service on the 45-minute flight here.
No.
And then the tail is the capacity for the luggage and the cargo.
Yeah, we can take up to 400 pounds of bags in the aft section there.
Valley's company started flying between the southernmost airport in the United States and Cuba back in February 2014, almost a full year before President Obama announced the effort to restore diplomatic relations and the easing of restrictions on travel from the U.S. to Cuba. That experiment back then lasted 6 weeks. Valley took to the air again in late March.
I have a lot of hopes and expectations for Cuba. There was a lot of curiosity that I think is pent up through the years. When the recent changes started happening, they announced, the easing of the restrictions. We've gotten a whole lot of calls. I think there's a whole lot of interest, a whole lot of curiosity of people wanting to go down to Cuba and check it out.
Airfare is $525 round trip, and he reports business has been good. He says the plane has been full enough to make it worthwhile, mostly with people heading to Cuba to visit family. Though, with the easier travel restrictions in place this year, he says what he calls more average Americans on board.
We're seeing a more demand now is really what we're seeing, and that's prompting some of these smaller operators with the 9-seat type aircraft to want to start up and making these runs.
Don DeGraw is the director of airports for Monroe County. Both he and Valley, the pilot, mention the size of the plane, 9 seats. That's how many passengers. There's one more for the pilot. Now, size matters here because 10 international travelers is all that the Key West Airport can handle at a time. The airport is designated as a general aviation facility, which limits the number of international passengers the Customs and Border Protection Bureau can process. It's a third of the way through, though, a multi-million-dollar project to expand the inspection area and be designated a federal inspection station. That would allow it to process up to 70 passengers landing from overseas.
It mostly deals around size and the ability to stage the folks as they're coming in and getting screened. Currently, our facility has limited queuing area for the folks when they come through. So we'll be increasing that area, increasing some of the technology to make the customs folks be able to expedite the process.
It seems kind of like minutia talking about square footage when it comes to this, but that's really what it counts because you need the space to be able to operate, and the federal regulations are going to require certain rules and regulations be followed here. Isn't that right?
That's exactly correct. And, with all of these customs facilities, the airport pays 100% to keep them here. So we're paying, except for the personnel costs, we're paying for everything else here. So they look to us for expansion and, even just keeping the chairs and the desks up to speed.
Yeah, computers, technology, all those kinds of things. That falls on you.
Absolutely. Everything falls on the airport. So, we have to look ahead and budget properly to facilitate that.
So what kind of budget does that look like? What's the economic opportunity for an airport like this if you are and when you are successful in expanding to the federal inspection point?
Well, you know, the revenue that we see comes from our tenants. And the more aircraft that we have coming here, the more fuel we're selling, the more services we're selling, and we get a residual trickle effect from that.
The expansion to accept 70-passenger international flights is a big departure from DeGraw's previous job. Before coming to be the boss at Key West International Airport, he was responsible for the runways and taxiways at New York's JFK International Airport. He had a staff of 70 and an $11 million annual budget. In the Keys, it's a smaller operation, certainly, but he's planning for the additional space to accommodate what he hopes will be more traffic, including to and from Cuba.
This is the thing that all airport managers face, you know, build it and will they come?
Right.
But, you know, we're confident, number one, even if we build it and we don't see the immediate effects, just having a new, upgraded, larger facility is going to set the stage for the future. And we have to be prepared for the future. In airports, we look at 5, 10, 20 years out.
As the airport grows to accommodate more international passengers, Air Key West owner and director of operations, Rob Valley, is not threatened by the major U.S. air carriers discovering the Cuban business.
I think there's room for all of us.
Take me back to that first flight. Were you the captain? Were you in the chair?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I got to tell you, it was in some ways a little bit disappointing because we flew in there into Havana and they made kind of this big deal that, you know, the reestablishment of flights from Key West and all that. And we landed and there was two other flights from the United States sitting on the ramp there. So I was a little bit disappointed that it wasn't quite this major event that sometimes it was touted to be.
When you hit the tarmac, wheels down for the first time at in Havana, what'd that feel like outside of the operational responsibilities you had as the captain of the craft? Emotionally, what did that feel like?
A little bit of apprehension, I guess, not knowing how we were going to be received. And, you know, I didn't know if we were going to be greeted by guys with AK-47s and, you know, go through each and every nook and cranny in the airplane or not. And as it turns out, they were very accommodating. Honestly, they didn't even ask to see my passport while I was there on the first flight and everything. So it was a lot more relaxed and casual than I thought it would be.
Has it become routine already?
I wouldn't say that. I mean, it's still, you know, a fair amount of novelty in the whole thing. But I think it's become more relaxed, if you will.
Is that route been proven to be a good business decision so far?
So far, yes. I mean, I think because of the pent-up demand and the pent-up curiosity, I think it's only going to get better.
It's Air Key West owner and pilot Rob Valley on flying from Key West to Havana. And yes, for the record, Key West International Airport has a rooster, several of them.